Broadcasting live from Terminal West at the King Plow Arts Center, it's Startup Riot 2015. Now, here are your Business Radio X hosts.
Lee Cantor here from Terminal West at Startup Riot, and I see the video feed is up and running. They're getting ready to get the presenters on stage, but they have not done it yet. I got one of the presenters in here now, Alex Mitchell. Welcome.
Welcome. Thanks.
Thank you. Alex, you're with Audio Kite, right?
Yeah, Audio Kite Research.
And can you share a little bit about what you guys are up to?
Sure. So we do consumer sentiment research for music creators, everything from garage bands, emerging acts, indie labels, all the way up to major labels.
And then so the label contracts with you to get a feel for what's going to be a hit song?
Sure.
What are you guys up doing exactly?
Well, it's not necessarily hit prediction in a traditional sense, but we have a panel of around 14,000 U.S.-based reviewers who are segmented by engagement and genre category. And so we send, you know, if you're a garage band, you can come on, pay $10, $20. Or if you're a label, you can pay more for more targeting, more
right.
options. Depending, so we, it's, you know, we serve a range of customers. But we send the song out to you know, some of our panelists, and they answer a 26-point survey about it. And, you know, everything from would you buy the song, would you stream it, you know, what emotions did it make you feel, really extensive, and then organize that into a report and deliver it back to the artist or label.
And then what do they do with that information? Do they actually change the material, or does that give them an idea of what type of music they should be producing?
So we've seen a lot of different use cases. We definitely do see the use case of, you know, this is an unfinished song, I'm not totally sure where to take it, or if this is a stem of an electronic song that I'm not even sure if this is something I should flesh out. So we do have, you know, musicians who run it for that purpose. We also, you know, see use cases for informing promotion. So, you know, sync licensing is something we track. What genre of film and television do you associate with this? What television shows do you associate with this? That sort of thing. So there's definitely a lot of different use cases that our customers are using it for.
So now, how did you get into this? What was the genesis of the idea?
Sure. So my background, I was a professional violinist when I was younger. Started this company to, you know, build a data standard to help bridge the gap between hardworking independent musicians and you know, bands that are still in the garage that are deserving, that, you know, really should have artist development. There's really no great filter for the sheer volume of music that's being made right now. And so, you know, we work with label A&R departments to use the data to make a case for that artist. And so you asked, you know, what happens afterwards, right? So because you have this data, that's great, who cares? So we have partnerships with a number of artist services, over a dozen, and we're hoping to add at least a dozen more by the end of the year, where depending on the results of your report, you can go out to thousands of new fans through our partner Boombox FM. You can get free ticketing, free education to help make your music better if that's what's necessary. You can get free, you know, credits for online radio. So just a lot of different services to guide the musician to the next step based on their data and have the eligibility for those opportunities be based on the consumer sentiment measurement.
Right. It isn't just their opinion or their mom thinks it's good.
Exactly. Exactly. I feel
which
like
I guess historically that has been the case, right?
Of course. Of course. I mean, there's definitely, you know, I mean, as a musician, you kind of get stuck in this bubble sometimes, right?
Right.
Where who are you asking for feedback? You're asking other musicians and you're asking your friends
and your
existing fans.
That are your friends that don't want to hurt your
right.
feelings.
And look, I used to be a songwriting contest judge. I mean, I've heard thousands of tracks. And what am I going to say, right? What are you going to, you know, a ton of musicians. You have musicians. Friends. I mean, some of them, you know, are really amazing and they deserve to go to the next step, but there's no real great way to elevate them, right? There's no standard by which to elevate them. Or you have friends who are musicians who maybe need a little bit more help, maybe need to tune up the vocals or you know, tighten up the rhythm section, but nobody's really giving them that direct feedback. And so, you know, one opinion about a song, whether it's yours or mine or even an A&R rep's, is kind of irrelevant, right? But somewhere
right.
in the aggregate of 100 or 500 or 1,000 opinions lies an elusive truth, a truth that the industry spends $4.2 billion every year trying to learn.
But is there a correlation between, like, a lot of people liking it and then a lot of people buying your single? You know, like, you go through, you see all these TV shows like American Idol or something, and millions of people are watching and voting and all this, but it doesn't translate back into actually them spending a dollar on the single.
Sure, and but there's so many other ways to monetize music, right? There is still a lot of money, you know, flowing through the music industry despite the decline in traditional record sales. Sync licensing is huge. So music in commercials and music in movies and television, there's still an incredible amount of money to be made there. Streaming is bringing revenue back into the pockets of artists. It's not as much as records, but it's coming back and it's finally starting to reach mass adoption. Mm-hmm. I think we're going to see a lot more money in the industry and a lot more money in the hands of artists over the next few years.
So as part of your kind of role in the industry, you're trying to give the artists, you're opening their mind to other ways they can monetize, and it may not be the conventional selling of gold records, but it might be through, like you said, commercials, movies. It could be through touring. It could be through T-shirts. They got to kind of explore all the different revenue streams, right?
Absolutely. And brand partnerships is a huge one. We have a partner who, depending on the results of your report, we can facilitate brand partnerships for you. We're actually working on one that I wish I could announce, but we're working on one right now with an exceptional artist that came in, had some really amazing data. And so, we're working on that. And that's, I think that's really the future it's not easy to be a musician right now.
But it's one of those things though, where the music is kind of, that's table stakes, but you may not make the money off of the music specifically, but you're building the relationship with the brand that maybe that one single will resonate. And your research, I guess, says, hey, that's perfectly suited for Lexus.
Exactly. So you totally get it. So demographic tracking obviously is a big part of the report. It's gender and it's age, and we're working on bringing even more demographic information to our reports. And so rather than if you're a music supervisor or if you're pitching a number of tracks to a Lexus commercial, for example, rather than send them, here's our best five rock tracks that we think would be really good, here's our best five rock tracks with consumer sentiment that matches the demographic
that you're going for. Right, your demographic is this age group, this gender, and here.
And you would think that's the way it's done now.
I wouldn't
but
think
it's
that.
Actually,
I think there's a lot of gut feeling involved in the music industry.
And I think, and you really hit on that's kind of, we're seeing this shift now, because we're seeing the shift in the role of the A&R. We're seeing a shift in, traditionally, despite the fact that every other industry, film does screen testing and, advertisers do all sorts of testing.
Right, focus groups.
Lord knows, we're sitting around with a bunch of startups that I really hope they've done user testing
to validate
their concepts.
The internet loves the measuring things.
Right.
Whether it's important to be measured or not remains to be seen, but they love to measure things.
Well, I think it's really important to measure music because there's this sort of, I think traditionally there's been, in some cases, a hubristic notion of almost guesswork of like, we're the ones who are setting the standard, we're the ones who are setting the culture, the industry is setting the culture, and you're going to consume, what we give you. And I think that really worked well for a time when you did have all this money coming in and you could take risks on different kinds of artists. But, it's more important now than ever to be making informed decisions. And so those decisions should be made with data, and there just aren't enough tools out there for musicians, for labels, for music supervisors, publishers, all of the different kinds of companies.
So your money ball for music?
maybe in some ways. Yeah, I haven't heard that one yet, but yeah.
You can use that.
Okay. We'll do.
So now what's your experience been? You're a New York based firm, right?
Yeah. So we're based in New York City. Yeah.
So how'd you even hear about Startup Riot?
So I actually got an email from Sanjay. So we're going to be at South by Southwest Startup Spotlight in a couple weeks in Austin. And I guess he was on the panel for that, or he found out about us from South by Southwest. And so, he shot me an email, said, hey, here's this event. Looked it up. It looked awesome. I've been looking for a reason to come to beautiful, sunny Atlanta.
Yes.
And which we flew in, and I was like, I don't know if this is a city or a cloud, but
a little foggy this morning.
And so it seems like a really cool event. I'm super excited to go up and pitch with everybody else, and I think it's going to be a really great day.
Now, you got your slides?
I do, yeah.
What is it? Four slides? How's it work?
Three minutes. 3 minutes is plenty. 3 minutes is an eternity. We're fine. I'm just gonna throw up our sales growth chart and be like, look, it's working.
That's it. And then if somebody wants to learn more, you're looking for more relationships with artists. I would imagine there's like a never ending supply of artists. But
absolutely. Yeah. And so, our consumer facing product, sort of, it's at www.audiokite.com. So that's audio and then kite, like a kite you would fly. And then, so, you know, if you're a musician or an emerging label, you can just go onto our platform, buy a report, upload your song. It's super easy, super fast. We get it back to you within 1 or 2 days. And, you know, for other music companies, publishers, you know, that and labels and that kind of thing, we have an enterprise solution that you can find out about by reaching me at alex@audiokite.com.
What about a brand? What if I'm I'm a brand and I want to find the right music for the commercial? Do you go through agencies or do you go through the brands directly?
So we're doing it. It really depends on the case. It really depends on the case. Depends on the artist. Depends on what relationships the artist already has, what relationships we have. But if you're a brand, you know, like Coca-Cola, for example, that wants to support independent music and find, you know, just the right artist for them, that's absolutely something they can reach out to us about, either at help@audiokite or just alex@audiokite.com.
Good stuff. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Yeah, and thank you so much for being here, for having me on.
All right, this is Lee Cantor. We'll be back in a few at Startup Riot 2015.
Make your next event more engaging with live radio, powered by Business Radio X. Learn more at radioinmybooth.com.